What are we down?
Welcome back to Cambridge Inside and Out.
All right. And I'm Robert Winters, even yep. still.
Yeah, right. Me too. I mean, I'm Judith Nathans. I'm not you.
All right. So in the last half hour, we talked a lot about national elections.
Right.
No more.
Okay? No more. No
that's
civil
it.
Wars.
That's it. No. That's right. Peace and love, you know?
Right. Yeah, right.
So now, but the thing is that there were some local elections, never... In terms of who was elected, that's not interesting, and it never is in Massachusetts.
Right, because
it's on non-competitive elections. We don't do competitive elections in Massachusetts at all. But there were two ballot questions. One had to do with right to repair, which is, you know, and apparently there was already something in effect, but this was a revision to that.
Right.
And that passed, and I expected it would. But then it was also the ballot question on ranked choice voting.
Very disappointing.
And I fully expected that was going to pass.
Yeah.
I guess I believed, like every other fool in the country, I believed the polls, right? Yeah. And the polling said that it had the votes.
I didn't know. I didn't see the poll.
Yeah. But it ended up going down. It lost by a comfortable 55, margin.
45, something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, I find that kind of disappointing. I do hope that the idea carries on. You know, there's nothing stopping the state legislature from considering other kinds of voting systems. And there's nothing stopping citizenry from pushing this again down the road a couple of years, you know.
Yeah, but that was a big
But it's a big deal. And, it's not cheap to run initiative petition campaigns. But I hope that enough people got the idea in their head that there'll be some consensus that maybe this is still an idea worth pursuing.
I was just so surprised given, I mean, I don't know how many people paid attention to it, but the 4th congressional district race where there were 10 candidates and the winning candidate, Jake Auchincloss, got 22% of the vote. I mean, if it had been a ranked choice, it would have been a different outlook, or maybe
it would not necessarily have given a different
outcome, might have been a runoff.
But it might have been.
Yeah.
Certainly the candidate who many people expected to win, who didn't win.
Yes, now, I know.
Right, is very and then became very outspoken supporter of ranked choice voting, of course.
Yeah.
But the thing is that people who, I think a lot of people, including people who are advocates for ranked choice voting, completely misunderstand certain important aspects about how actual human beings really vote. Hmm. Meaning they don't just vote based on the fact that you've decided that these are the ideological lines and therefore that's how everybody's going to vote. No. A lot of people vote geographically. A lot of people vote based on every imaginable criteria. So you can never say, if we had ranked choice voting, then the ballots for these people who lost would have transferred to elect so-and-so. You really can't know that unless you look at the ballot data.
I know.
And there was no ballot data because there was no ranked choice voting.
But there was a lot of ads put on by the no people that kind of.
I think it had bad. Yeah, but you know the way I look at this has to do with just generally about referenda and initiative petitions. Namely this, is that your typical voter who doesn't fully understand a ballot question, the default is usually that they
don't vote on it.
Well, either leave it blank and you go, I don't know about this.
And if they don't vote on it, then you're losing that vote. That's true.
Right. But the thing is that they'll often vote no because they're rather, you know, better the devil you know, right?
I see.
You know? I don't know. What's wrong with the way we do it now, they think, right? Well, there's a lot wrong, but I have to explain it to you. And
that's true.
You know, and I assumed that there was enough explanation put out there. And I don't think there was in the end, you know. Live and learn, right? You know, it's not the end of the world. But I do hope the idea carries on and that, there is still ideas like having state enabling legislation to allow cities and towns in Massachusetts to adopt alternate voting systems without going through a whole full-blown charter change process. I mean, there are some things that people can do here.
Yeah.
And there are some places, like I'm sure Somerville, if given a choice, might actually choose a different system.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'll start using the Cambridge system. I don't know. Mm. But the thing is at least to put the options out there. Anyway, so this is sort of the first campaign and we'll probably go on for another 20 years. So we'll see. Anyway, that was kind of interesting. Now, back at Cambridge, there is a little bit of a problem we have right now having to do with the coronavirus. You know, everybody, you know, remember when we were all going crazy, and certainly I was crazy back in April, and we were living in fear and looking at the skyrocketing numbers, and then the numbers subsided, you know, and the, you remember we all talked about ventilators and whatever, you know, nobody seems to talk about a lot of those things now, but the numbers subsided so that the number of new cases was averaging like 3.5, 4. I was staying pretty consistently under 5 in Cambridge throughout the entire summer. Last 2 weeks, it's been over 20. There's one day it's up to 33.
Okay, so I'm going to throw out something that sounds very Trumpian, but we are doing a whole lot more testing of the public.
Yes.
So chances are you're going to catch more cases than you might have done in August.
There's no question at all that that's part of it. Let me actually, just so people know about this, I'm going to actually throw a little bit of a graphic here, just so people understand. You know, the thing is that arguably things were growing more or less linearly, or not linearly, they were growing at a constant rate, you know, 5 here, 5 there. And then something happened a couple of weeks ago where
Wait a minute, you have to say that you started in October.
The thing is, I've just chopped out a section. I'll show you another graph in a second here. But basically the total cumulative number is here. It was it was over 1,400 and it had grown kind of, you know, steadily, but not rapidly. And then at some point, 2 weeks ago, it just started growing. I would still say it's growing kind of steadily as opposed to exponentially, but we'll see what happens next week, right? It could start leveling off again. We don't know. And a more interesting graph to me is this one here about the 7-day averages. And so you can see where the peaks were.
Yeah.
You know, number of new cases up around, you know, peaking up around 25. There was a few days where it really went crazy, which is I think when they instituted a lot of new testing.
So where are you looking now? Point on the map, because right now,
right, the early peak.
That's April.
Right. But except for that sort of anomalous spike there, it was sort of, it rose.
Yes.
And it came down, and then it was.
But that was the highest everywhere in the state, too. That was
right. Right. And when you look at this stuff nationally, what you're really seeing there is a story of a peak that happened in places like New York and Massachusetts, which then subsided. And then there were some peaks in places like Arizona and Florida, which peaked and then subsided. Right. And then in more recent times, you're seeing this third peak, which is like all those Midwestern states, which really, really went out of control.
That's right.
And that's the scariness when you look at the national figures. I thought, well, we've gone through our weirdness, but then this business
look at that.
So now so is this going to just peak and then come down again? We don't know. Is it going to continue to grow? We don't know. Right, but the thing is there's no way of getting around the fact that this is an alarming development,
but
what do you do? How do you interpret it? What's the cause?
Interpret it is that there's people are, even though they're wearing masks, I see them, but I think they're getting together more, or they're doing things. I don't know.
I think there are multiple factors, as in most
things.
It's
getting colder, so people are inside more.
I think the phrase I've heard a lot, and I think it's very valid, is COVID fatigue. So I'm just as guilty, you know. So in other words, I say, I'm tired. I don't wear rubber gloves when I go out anymore, nor do I think I have to.
I only do it when I go into a supermarket.
And for a while, I only would wear gloves then when I was in a supermarket. Now I don't even do that, right?
Really? So, no, I do.
So am I slacking off a bit? Yeah, I am. But I think also there is more understanding about the means of transmission now. Yeah. Once upon a time, we were all counting, well, how long does the coronavirus stay intact on cardboard?
How's
it aluminum?
I mean, the surface thing. Yeah. And also outdoors. I mean, look at all the rallies that have happened. Look at all.
Yeah.
There's been lower especially if you're wearing a mask.
Right. So sporting events. You know, schools are back together again. There was part of the Cambridge numbers is attributable to some MIT outbreaks, like especially around the Sloan School. Harvard has actually had increases as well.
So why don't they then differentiate that and say, okay, there's
you have to look.
Cases and these are where they're coming from, rather than saying we're getting worse.
You can actually do some differentiation of it. You know, one of the things that I've been doing, actually, I'm going to just jump back here and share the screen for a second, is that I've been putting on my site here below the sort of the Cambridge numbers, there's a page specifically for The Harvard dashboard
has that, so you can go to that on the city.
Yeah, so you can see, you know, on a day by day basis, some new peaking that is happening there, related to Harvard, right? And similarly, you could also do the same thing for MIT. So the thing is so some of this, these spikes. There you go. It's taking its sweet old time.
So are they tests?
Some of the spiking here.
They're
running more tests, but they've been running the tests a lot, pretty much consistently at MIT and Harvard, incredibly so.
Right.
But the thing is that they're actually getting real cases now, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So there's no getting around it that this is sort of a problem. Now, I've heard Governor Baker's advice basically was saying that, well, people letting their guard down, there's a lot of, much of the transmission is actually within households. Mm-hmm. So basically somebody goes somewhere, does something.
You bring your girlfriend back and maybe she's been with her family and you don't know, but you figure it's safe.
So how much of this is a matter of people letting your guard down or not? I don't know. I don't know whether this is the appropriate time to mention what happened at the end of the city council meeting.
I think it is,
But what happened there was that it was actually kind of emotional.
Mayor Siddiqui,
basically, because she's been between a rock and a hard place. I think listen, you made any one of those nine counselors mayor, they'd have been over their head, right, for this. I don't think any of them would have been prepared for this, but you know, I don't think she was fully prepared to sort of
take this
in charge of a pandemic, in a pandemic. No, who is?
She's also
I would be terrible.
School committee. Right.
So right. But then, also, yeah. Right. Now, the school committee basically laid down certain rules that say, okay, we're going to reopen more. You know, nothing's fully reopening. Right. But we're going to reopen more as long as the numbers stay within certain levels, right? But then they established some bounds that I believe were probably based on what they were seeing throughout the summer. And now we're probably just shot past all of those. So what do that mean? Is it going to probably they may have to curtail the reopening plans in some fashion, if not completely. So then there was a city council order. Basically, it was I've probably misstated it a little bit, but the basic idea was
The late order.
It was a late order. It was sprung at the very last second of the council meeting.
Right, so it wasn't available right then to the public.
No, at all. And basically what it said is, and understandably, the mayor and the vice mayor, very emotionally very upset about the fact that they may have to close the school because of the increased numbers. But their proposal was, the good part, I guess, is you know, the managers should confer with the mayors in the region to sort of come up with a strategic regional plan, you know, for how to address the rising numbers and whatever. Nobody's going to disagree with that. But there was also then suggestions, and I think Councillor Zondervan kind of dogpiled in at the end, basically say, we just should shut it down.
Well, not just schools, but everything.
Yeah, just shut down. There was the schools, right, because they were basically making a connection here saying that, and it was cast as an either or, saying well, unless you shut down the economy, we can't open the schools. And I just listened to that and I said, I don't see that connection. No. And I also don't understand. The fact is that if you have, you know, out of a pool of 100 businesses and restaurants, whatever, if 90 of them are doing all the guidelines right, and they're not really constant, and the data doesn't seem to indicate that they are a cause of much of anything.
Right.
Why do you want to just shut them down? On principle? You know, because somehow you don't understand something, so therefore you just basically kill them all? You know,
But you're not going to shut down supermarkets. You're not going to shut down.
Right.
And those are essential workers. And you know,
yeah,
I follow this around the country. People see teachers as essential workers, even though there's, you know, so it's. It's a very complex issue.
It is a complex issue that doesn't lend itself toward a broad brush answer.
No.
But many people, myself included, viewed this council order as a very broad brush way of addressing a very real problem.
Yeah.
So it was made subject to the charter right by Councillor Toomey. And now some people are saying, I can't believe he's going to stand in the way of blah, 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 blah.
It makes sense.
But I know for a fact that had Councillor Toomey not exercised his charter right, there was at least one and probably two or three other counselors who are going to do it.
They would have done that. Yeah.
Yes. Because it was so late in the game and it was so consequential.
Right.
This was not a small matter, you know. And you're talking about a lot of people in their jobs right now. They're hanging on by a thread and just sort of say, well, we've just decided that's it. Of course, the council can't make that decision. They can recommend to the manager and the manager shall respond. I suppose if the manager basically tells them all to go screw, they could fire them. But that ain't going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
So, but the thing is that so something will happen. And for those who think because Councillor Toomey exercises charter right that somehow nothing will happen, they don't understand the way city government really works. The manager has heard, he's aware of every single word in the order. And whatever it is he was going to do in response, he's probably already looking into all of that right now.
And so it just comes up next week is what it and does. It just,
or sooner if they call a special meeting.
Right, so, that's so, true. There was no COVID
That's right. So
agenda item. Yeah.
Yeah. Now this should be a big item. This should, I agree with every councilor who said that this should be for the foreseeable future, this should be an official part of the city council agenda. Yeah. Item number one on the manager's agenda, COVID update. Yeah. And if they end up working 2 hours on that, all right.
Fine. Or have a special meeting.
On it because this is serious
it's
stuff.
Too important. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is that they, I think, you know, elected officials are not elected because they're all brilliant. They are simply there as the people's representatives. It doesn't mean they have any great insight. They're not epidemiologists. They're not medical practitioners. They all they can do is sort of say, well, something's wrong here. We got to figure it out. And that's why we have professional staff. Now, I'm not happy. Now, this is a general criticism I will make about city government and the current city administration. We love to slap ourselves on the back and congratulate ourselves too much. You know, we say, look at our infection rate. It's 0.0000%, you know, and like, therefore everything's right as rain, you know, but you know, I think it's a good thing that we've done a lot and
we've done more testing in the city than
we've done very, very well. But the thing is that you shouldn't just sort of let's not pretend when there's a problem, it's emerging. Let's not pretend. It's sort of like, you know, the manager, you know, when he was budget director, he would always say when we get our new tax bills, he just said, okay, what's the message we can put out there so people feel good? Well, 60% of the people received no more than $100 increase in their tax bill. Mm. It was like a well-calculated message to basically say, you know, the train's not running out of control off the rails, you know? And then a few years later, there was an even bigger one. They go, well, only 55% received an increase of less than more than $150. And they always spin it. I just want people to just put it out there. Put the fact out there and stop the spin. Yeah. You know, this is a serious matter, this COVID increase now. Let's not candy, you know, let's not pussyfoot around it. It's real. But let's also be very, very, very deliberate in terms of the what actions make sense, and they should probably be surgical.
Okay, but what I don't know is when they say they have to close the schools, right now it's only to third or fourth grade, and it's only some of the kids. But when was there a date to have like the older kids come back? Before
January? It was coming. It was either happening or
really? Yeah, I didn't think that.
Some opening happening, and I still think that there's good sense in opening regardless.
Okay. But I do too. Yeah.
But parents have options to say, no, not me. We're staying home.
But also you do have teachers who are living in communities where their kids maybe aren't in school. So they're stuck too. I mean, so.
That's right. That's right.
It's a staffing issue too.
It is definitely so. Yeah. So I'm not yet again. I don't envy anyone who has to make decisions. I don't envy the school superintendent. I do not envy the position of the mayor to have to adjudicate things in an impossible situation like this. You know, but honesty is something I think most residents will appreciate. Just be straightforward. Let's understand this and be straightforward. So anyway, so that was not really even an agenda item in last night's meeting until the very, very bitter end, you know.
Speaking of COVID testing, real quickly, it was brought up in last week's meeting, not this one, that there's all these expanded days now, 7 days a week, but the advertising for it. Now, I walked around East Cambridge on Sunday and I went by places where they could easily have put signs like in housing, and I didn't see anything anywhere. And yeah. I think that's wrong. There should be,
you know,
maybe not a mailing, but there could be posters in communities where you want people to have testing, you know?
You know, again, just to sort of add to what I was just saying earlier is that we do a great job of pretending we're doing everything perfectly. Yeah, and I think we do things pretty well, but we do fall flat on certain things, you know, getting that word around generally. Again, if we were one of these, like a suburban community that had the, you know, the weekly, you know, bargain paper or something that everybody read, you could get word out to people very effectively. We only do it in a kind of a scattershot way. I mean, we're actually in some ways dependent on things like neighborhood listservs and other things.
I mean, I went by the Margaret Fuller House. I went by places where there were places you could have just put a poster. I don't get it. I mean,
I agree. You know,
I
and it's not like
test. I don't even want a test, but my daughter made me get one because we're going, you know, just with four of us, whatever. So right. I signed up for one that I have to drive into, which I'm surprised there wasn't the car people that don't want cars. You could only drive into the Cambridge Psych Gallery. You can't walk in, you can't use a bicycle. But
right.
So I thought that was interesting.
Not well, you know, I mean, the thing is, part of that, I think, is that there's a certain type of person who, when they go to good testing, they don't want to get out of a car and they don't want to see people outside of cars. They want to say, let's all show up in our bubbles.
Well, it's also easier for you. I don't know. There's the site at Church Street. I don't know how that one's run. Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, anyway. You know, nobody should misunderstand me. I'm grateful for all the things that Cambridge is doing. And I think we've been doing great things.
I know.
But the thing is, we don't do things perfectly, and let's stop pretending when we're doing them perfectly. Let's acknowledge when we did a pretty good job. Pretty good is sometimes pretty good.
5 minutes left, which isn't enough time, but we both watched, and you actually commented on a meeting today about, it was a Government Operations Committee.
Yeah.
All right. So
they had a number of things on their agenda. But largely, you know, the way the chair Denise Simmons spoke of it is about decorum amongst councilors, but it was very specifically also about city council aides.
Yes, the history of them and.
Yeah, and I thought they actually did put a history of like how these come to be, but. You know, the truth is it's the counselor is just sort of, they like having this personal benefit of having like a personal, you know, somebody to sort of, you know, handle their little affairs like this here. But I've been outspoken for a very long time about this, and that I've never thought that was necessary. And I didn't think it was the right way to do business. Mm-hmm. The thing is that, and again, because I remember talking to the counselors when they were first exploring these ideas. Mm-hmm. Some of it is actually rooted in the fact that certain people who got to be vice mayor got an aide and other counselors were resentful. So therefore, we want to have them too.
Yeah. Okay.
There was also a period of time when several city councilors were considering seeking other political offices and they weren't going to be around as much because they're going to be campaigning. So they wanted people to be kind of stand-ins.
Oh.
That never made it into the press, but that was absolutely a fact.
This is the 90s?
Really kind of after the 90s, right? Okay. You know, early 2000s. But then what really then happened, it was actually when it was one person who was vice mayor who got an aide and who really exploited it and kind of almost rubbed it in the faces of all the other counselors. So they were saying like, we're not happy about this. So then it was when Mayor Reeves got the five votes to become mayor, I think was at 2005, after the 2005 election, I'm not sure. That they basically, he just by fiat, and I'm sure it was an understanding amongst those who voted for him, make me mayor and you'll get your aides. And he did, they got an aide.
So they called them research assistants.
They called them research assistants. And then they got their aides and they were supposed to be very much part-time. But then over the years, it grew, you know, to up to a 30-hour week. And even in the FY21 budget, it's actually listed as full-time, except that it's not being funded because the money is being diverted for COVID reasons.
I don't think people even realize
what they don't know about these things.
If this gets passed, it's going to be $62,000 or something.
It's crazy.
Plus benefits.
And as I like to point out, the Planning Charter hasn't changed essentially since 1941. Mm-hmm. The job description of a city councilor hasn't changed.
Yeah.
So,
which is supposed to be a part-time position.
It is supposed to be, and ideally should be.
Yeah, right? But then why are you having a full-time? Are they the people? It's just so crazy.
It's ridiculous. And the truth is, without naming names, the mm-hmm. aides of some city councilors have mm-hmm. been engaging in things that are really crossing the line.
Yeah.
You know, there was a former city councilor, I don't know if I mentioned this at the committee meeting, who somebody actually went and sent up an aide for a city councilor browbeating department head, which yeah. if it was a councilor doing that's a felony.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is some problems with this whole structure here.
And
so
they fall under the city. I mean, they can be removed by the city manager, right?
Right. There's one city councilor today that yeah. they are city employees, just like anybody yeah. else. There was one city councilor today, yeah. Sabrina Wheeler, who basically saying, well, yeah. they should be accountable only to us. Yeah. In other yeah. words, wait yeah. a minute. In other words, if you have your aide does something dreadful, as mm-hmm. long as you're okay with it, then my tax money should continue to fund them? Are you kidding me? You know, so my alternative proposal for years and years and years was that we should just basically beef up the staff of city council committees.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if you are chair of that committee, then you have access to this staff support.
Research assistant.
And then you actually yeah. will beef up yeah. the function of the council committees to
and
do the job
right.
of the council.
It's not just trying to promote your individual, you know, council.
These are patronage positions from day one, with some wonderful exceptions. Yeah. For the most part, these are people who have worked in people's political campaigns yeah. and continue to do so in municipal election years.
Behind the scenes.
Let's not fool around about it. So
okay, we have like 15 seconds.
That's about it. So
yeah. Anyway, well, more on that. And there's a meeting tomorrow that I'm going to watch on municipal broadband.
That's another topic. It's a hot topic and an interesting topic and a topic worth discussion.
All right. Good night, everybody.
See you all soon on Cambridge Inside Out.